Hear now a reading of the scripture from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen since I haven't had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. This woman who is labeled unable to conceive is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. What are you afraid of? Roller coasters? Heights? Clowns? Snakes? Spiders? Dentists? Doctors? Needles? Some of these things are avoidable, or we don't have to interact with them all that often. I did a quick Google search of things people are afraid of. The things I listed were not among the first several links that I explored. People have real fears. They're afraid they won't have enough money to retire. Afraid they can't put food on the table. Afraid they can't pay the rent if they have to fix the car again. They're also afraid of bioterrorism, cyber attacks, and the drinking water not being safe. But what about our internal, personal, individual fears? Fear of failure, rejection, conflict, the future, death, the unknown. While we can do our best to avoid roller coasters, spiders, and snakes, we can't avoid some of these things. There are more things that are out of our control than things that are in our control. We may have fear or anxiety about situations and circumstances that we care very much about, but are very much out of our control. Did you know that the phrase, "Do not be afraid," appears 365 times in the Bible? Every single day, God's word reminds you, "Do not be afraid." And that is not because there is nothing to fear, but because God is with us. While we cannot control many things, we can control the only thing we can control is how we respond to what's happening around us. In today's passage, the angel appears to Mary, and before he even tells her why he's there, he says, "Do not be afraid." Birth is the most ordinary thing in the world. Mary, like most young women of her time, almost certainly planned on being a mother. She was betrothed to Joseph, so she probably thought she would become a mother in the near future. What I'm sure she didn't plan on was having an angel bring her this good news. Motherhood is something that touches all of us. It's the most consequential thing that happens to every single one of us. Each and every one of us was born. Each and every one of us had a mother who delivered us into the world. And yet pregnancy and birth are life-changing events in which there is almost certainly some level of fear. While not all of us here are mothers, all of us had a mother. And as we embark on this journey through Advent, we will be thinking about the generations that have come before us and the generations that are being raised up. And it all begins with mothers. All of us had a mother, even Jesus, the Son of God, the son of a virgin. Mary's experience was supernatural. None of our mothers had an angel appear to them and tell them that they are the highly favored one and their child would have a kingdom that would come and have no end. But they all had a story to tell about when they found out they were pregnant, about the day you were born, about who they thought you would become, not the Prince of Peace and a wonderful counselor, but they thought many things about you and your future. Life is all about stories. And Mary's story included the same ordinary feeling of surprise, excitement, fear, joy, confusion, nervousness that all of our mothers felt. She probably had morning sickness. She was probably very tired. She felt her baby kick. She was a mother like all of our mothers. And yet God revealed a vision of hope to her. God called her to be the bearer of good news. In this message, she is given the great surprise of knowing that she will conceive, bear, and name the Messiah, the hope of the world, the Prince of Peace. And Mary asks just one simple question: how can this be? But she also probably wondered, how can this be since my fiancé won't want to marry me? How can this be since I am nobody and my fiancé is a carpenter? How can this be since I've never been a mother before and you want me to raise the Son of God? How can this be? The angel's answer reveals to her a mystery, which is that nothing is impossible with God. And she says, she agrees to be a part of God's extraordinary plan for the world. She took a situation and she responded to it, and she probably was still afraid. But she allowed God to enter into her life in a new and miraculous way. And God decided to enter in the world in a way that joins God's holiness and the ordinary nature of humankind together. But when we think about it, we paint it as a pretty picture, and we make a beautiful nativity, and we light candles, and we put up a Christmas tree. But it was kind of a mess, wasn't it? It was kind of a mess. It's hard to fathom how she must have felt. As Protestants, we don't always spend a lot of time contemplating Mary's experience. We often read this story rather quickly because we know it so well. But when we take the time to slow down and let it sink in, what Mary does is more than a miraculous thing. It's more than life-changing. It's more than world-changing, and it is world-changing. But what Mary does is scandalous and dangerous. She must have been wondering, well, what will my parents think? What would Joseph think? How would people treat her once they know? This wasn't just a shameful thing. This is the kind of thing that made a young girl worthless. This could have been a death sentence. Knowing all of this, she chooses to allow God to use her life. Isn't life today still full of messiness, danger, scandal, uncertainty? Nod. Madeline L. Engel describes the birth of Christ in a messy world in a way that takes my breath away. He did not wait till the world was ready, till people and nations were at peace. He came when the heavens were unsteady and prisoners cried out for release. He did not wait for the perfect time. He came when the need was deep and great. In the mystery of the Word made flesh, the Maker of the stars was born. We cannot wait till the world is sane to raise our songs with joyful voice, for to share our grief, to touch our pain, he came with love. Rejoice, rejoice. That is what the angel said to her. Rejoice, do not be afraid. God is honoring you. Year after year, we gather to hear the story of Jesus' birth, even though the world is not sane. All things are not merry and bright all the time. We raise our songs through Advent with joyful voice because although we know that there is sorrow and despair and uncertainty, love has been birthed into the messiness of our world, right into the middle of it. The ordinary, normal, even boring events of everyday life run parallel to all that makes life terrifying. In the season of Advent, God brings Christmas to us in the midst of all that is ordinary in our lives. J. Ellsworth Callis wrote that we ought to expect God's Spirit to be manifest in the kitchen, the bedroom, the boardroom, and the classroom. I think sometimes we forget to look for God in all that is ordinary, but wonder where God is in the midst of the mess and despair. We wake up like any other day. We go to work. We eat something. We run to the grocery store. Everything is normal and fine, and then the unthinkable happens. An ordinary day turns into a day that's unforgettable. Pearl Harbor. 9/11. All of 2020. There are days for each of us that were once ordinary days, but are now marked on our calendars and in our memories as a day of something that is unforgettable. Mass shootings, natural disasters, car accidents, war. God came to us in the most ordinary way through birth. Mary agreed to conceive, bear, and name God made flesh. And God came to us so that we would know that on excruciating days and on blissfully ordinary days, God is with us. And to echo that, the angel says every single day, do not be afraid. God does not make or prevent terrible things from happening, but God stays with us in the midst of great pain and despair. God gives us to each other to share the joys and the burdens of our lives. We must be there for each other like Elizabeth was for Mary. We must show empathy and compassion. We must look for peace which rests on our hearts because we know that God is with us and that we believe in hope, love, resurrection, and redemption. The world isn't much different than the one Jesus was born into. It was dangerous. God didn't promise it wouldn't be. God joined us in it. God promised to be with us. And God gives us people to endure this life together. With this assurance that God is with us and that we are not alone, may we be enabled by God's grace to say yes May we be empowered by God's Spirit to participate in God's extraordinary plan for the world. As we wait for Christmas and for Christ's final return in victory, let us step into Mary's life. Let us be as brave as she was. Let us conceive, bear, and name Jesus in our lives. How? We conceive Jesus when we allow God to use our lives. We bear Jesus when we spend time in prayer, reading scripture and pondering the ways God is moving in our lives. We name Jesus when our actions show his love and when we find opportunities to tell other people about the way he's changed our lives. In our visioning team last week, we were trying to brainstorm how we might begin to grow the church again. One person chimed in that most of their friends go to our church, and that is a joyful thing. And yet, their other friends belong to other churches. And our church might not be growing because we're only around other Christians. Some of us went to see a movie yesterday, the best Christmas pageant ever, and it was. It was full of laughs, but also made some very good points that were targeted specifically toward church-going people. A church was getting ready to put on their 75th annual Christmas pageant. It was a very big deal for the whole town. The people who usually directed the pageant weren't available, and someone new stepped up, someone that everyone doubted. They doubted she could pull it off. And when it came time to audition the parts for Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and the wise men, none of the children who usually played those parts stepped up. Instead, six children from one family who only came to church because they heard there would be snacks, volunteered to be in the pageant. These kids were rough. Their parents were never in the movie. Did you notice that? And they had never heard the Christmas story. But they were going to be the stars of the show. And guess what? The church people were sure that it was going to be a disaster. The movie was about the real meaning of Christmas and how it came to life in children who had never heard the Christmas story before, who were captivated by the characters, who were invested in the details. We've all heard the Christmas story time and time again, and we take for granted that Mary had something to be afraid of. We take for granted that it's not a normal thing for angels to descend and announce good news. Yet our lives are shaped by this story. Our faith allows us to live with less fear because we believe this story is true. Let us be looking for the people who don't know the story. Let us take on eyes like we're hearing it for the first time. Let us see it come to life in our hearts. Let us let Jesus be born in us anew again. Let us be looking for the people who need the hope and the peace given to us by a God who decided to be with us. Amen. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Holy God, we take a deep breath in and know that you are here. For where two or more are gathered, you are there. You never leave our sides. Like a protective mother hen or the sun who circles the earth, you carry us with you. So today we bow our heads with tender spirits and ask that once more you would lean in close. Hear our prayers. Buoy our hearts. Send your spirit rushing through us like a mighty wind. For these days, God, We have much to fear. Violence, war, division, scarcity, not enough money, not enough food, not enough people at church, the future, the unknown, change, rejection, failure, loneliness, conflict. Holy God, the muck of our lives is deep. At times it feels like we're swimming in it. And so we come to you today because you are a God who said, "Do not fear," 365 times in Scripture, once for every day. You are a God who has inserted yourself into the corners of our lives, refusing to let us go, refusing to leave us alone. And so we rest in that. We empty our pockets of our fears and give them to you, trusting that you will hold them tenderly, just as you hold us. You whisper, "Do not be afraid." You promise to never leave our side. You call us beloved. May that be enough for today. And now, with the hope in our hearts that you have given to us, we join our voices to pray together the prayer that leads us as the gathering at Scott Memorial. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.